All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys all here. Let me get all situated. Get rid of that. Like this. So I'll make sure I turn the Wi-Fi off. You never know who's going to message you or something like that. It would just be kind of awkward. So my name is Darren Pouts. I'm the pastoral resident here at JAX, and it is my pleasure to bring you guys the word this morning. Ryan and the worship team, you guys did a fantastic job. Like, it feels like we could just continue to worship through singing. But as we come to our service, we always want to make sure we spend time in the Word and dissect the Word and get to know the Word and get to know God and to make Him known through that then as well. So as we've been going through this, the last month and a half or so, we've been working through 1 Samuel. And then after that, we're going to be working through 2 Samuel. It's all one big book here that we've been looking through. So all of summer, we're going to be examining this, digging in to understand God's truth to this. And I feel kind of spoiled here because we've been taking some big sections previously, like 4 or 5 chapters at a time. Now we get to like slow down, and I just get to do one. So it's pretty, I'm kind of thankful for that, honestly. It's really good. So as we look into the Word today, it's going to be 1 Samuel, chapter 16, if you want to find your Bibles. There are Bibles underneath the seats, too, if you are new here. That is for yours to keep, if you would like. If you don't have one, please do so. You just have to use it. That's our obligation to you. So 1 Samuel 16, I'll read it, I'll pray, and then we will get down to work in the text. So 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." So Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest. But behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. And had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Behold, now a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre, and when a harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. Bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Let's pray, guys. Lord, you are a great king. Lord, you are good and gracious to us. Lord, we pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we be receptive to your words. Lord, I pray that my words are clear. Lord, I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, whatever turmoil, Lord, that we may be facing, whatever grief, Lord, that we are holding on to, Lord, we can bring it before you because, Lord, you are a good and gracious King. Lord, and you are sovereign over all, and we can trust in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your holy, precious name. Amen. Now, have you guys ever had like a big turning point in your life? Like, take a second. Think about it. Like, what has like been a big turning point in your life? Like, maybe it could be like, obviously, marriage is always a big one. Maybe a kid being born is always pretty huge. Like, those are definitely two big ones for me. But one that I really remember is enlisting in the Air Force. Now, I remember signing the piece of paper. I remember then putting that on our kitchen counter and then, like, walking away and my parents, like, crying. I remember getting on the airplane going out down into San Antonio and then getting on the bus. I remember the bus, like, strictly because it was super quiet and the bus driver was just absolutely mean. Like, he was a big jerk. And he was a retired Marine, probably. I think it makes more sense. Had to be with that. But nonetheless, it's really quiet. We get to Lackland Air Force Base. We get off the bus. Everybody's yelling at you. Like, why is everybody yelling? Why is everybody so mad? I came in, honestly, really naive to the military. I didn't have any prior military experience or even my family or anything like that. So getting yelled at, we go standing in line, getting yelled at, yelling us to drop our bags and then pick them back up, like, over and over and over again. Like, I was really contemplating my life choice at that moment. At that moment, I really didn't know, like, what I should do. I wasn't a believer at that time. I had this probably false sense. But the Lord was still there. Obviously, the Lord is still sovereign over all. The Lord had me go into the Air Force. If I didn't join the Air Force, I definitely would not be here today. Right? A massive turning point in my life. Do you guys have that too? Something big in your life, or just look back on it's like, just see how the Lord has worked through all of that. I remember that. Just a drastic change. Change the trajectory of my life. Right? And here in this passage, there is a massive change that is going to happen. A massive change of direction. Right? So we're going to see Saul's decrease and then David's increase throughout this passage. And then it's going to be pretty much the rest of Samuel too. You'll just continually see that. So my main idea today is that even in the midst of times of uncertainty, trust that the Lord will provide. Trust that the Lord will provide. Because there's a lot going on in here. We see three main characters. Of course, there's God. Like, that's always there. But we're going to be looking at the three main characters. We've already seen Samuel throughout the first 15 chapters of Samuel here, right? It's named after him. Obviously, it's going to be about him. We're going to kind of be digging into him a little bit. Then there's also Saul, right? He has been anointed king, kind of going through different things, had some high highs going through it, but also some low lows. We're going to be looking at him too. But now we get introduced to a new character here, David. And we're going to be looking into him to see what is going on with his life at this moment too. How just all of these are just big changes in their lives. Huge changes. So let's look at Samuel first, right? He talks about him right at the beginning of this chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul since I've rejected him from being king over Israel?" So grief, but also fear. If you look down as well, he has these emotions of grief and fear. So even in the midst of this grief and fear, trust God will provide direction. God's going to provide direction for Samuel. I think Samuel is grieving here for a couple reasons. The first is because of Saul. The previous chapter, Saul was supposed to do specific tasks. Right? Samuel, the prophet, was supposed to tell Saul, and then Saul was supposed to do them. That's not really what happened at all. He was supposed to kill all the Amalekites. But if you look back just in chapter 15, he failed to obey. Now, Samuel did the right thing. He tried to call Saul out on this, but Saul pretty much just blamed the people, saying, like, well, the people kept all these animals, and the king, like, it's okay. He didn't want to take ownership. He blamed the other people. Even though he was king, right? He was supposed to be the leader of this. Because Saul would rather please man than obey the Lord. I think even in chapter 15, Saul talks about Saul like recognizing the sin that was in his life, that he didn't fully obey the Lord with it. And I think he tried to like almost convince Samuel. It's like, it's okay. We can still be buddy-buddy. Like, yes, I recognize this. Let's still be buddy-buddy. Let's go back together and say, like, yes, we're still united as a prophet and king and be able to work it all out. But that's not what happened at all. Samuel took that king, and it says, if you look back, 15:33, it says, Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord. Like, it wasn't just didn't kill him. He hacked him to pieces. He wanted to make a statement to Saul, to show obedience to the Lord. Like, fine, Saul, if you're not going to do it, I will do it. And then Samuel and Saul split ways. I think here's Samuel is grieving because of Saul's disobedience. Right, he's like losing a brother, understanding this the kingship as well, just not obeying the Lord. But I also think another way why, reason why Samuel is grieving is because just the overall state of Israel, right? The people wanted a king, to have this king, to bring him through, but they looked like all the other nations around them, and it wasn't what it was supposed to be. Samuel knew this. He didn't know the direction for it, but he knew that this is not how it was supposed to be. There's supposed to be something greater on this. And he's grieving for it. And this is where we pick up in the story. So what is the Lord doing here? What is the Lord doing? Is Samuel going to be able to trust the Lord through this? Like, he spent his whole life serving the Lord, obeying him, doing what he can with all his heart, mind, and strength. And he told Saul what he was supposed to do. But again, Saul was more of the people pleaser. Right? I think Saul really tried to like raise himself up and really didn't try to elevate God. It's just that this is like whiplash here. It's like, what is going on? This was supposed to happen, but now it's not. This big change of events. And the big change of events here is that David is coming into the picture. We're going to be looking for a new king. A new king. This is a drastic change that is going to happen. Right? And I think it's for Samuel, I think like, okay, I'm about to commit treason. But this is super exciting because it's who's going to be putting him in place? God is. God is going to be putting him in place. I will provide for myself a king. So he tells him to get the horn of oil and go. And go. Get the horn of oil for the anointing. But his reaction really doesn't seem like all that excited. It seems more like questioning, like, what is Saul going to think? What is he going to do? Is he going to kill me? Is he going to hunt me down? Because it is like a pretty much a state of treason of what he is going to be doing. So he gave some excuses, but the Lord still gave him direction. The Lord still gave him direction to perform a sacrifice. So it's not going to be like an uncommon thing that he is expected to do. Samuel consistently did sacrifices. All the time, he probably went to different locations to do that, to help the people out. So he probably been to Bethlehem. Maybe he knew the family of Jesse there, the Bethlehemite. But he went there. He obeyed. God gave him direction, and he obeyed. So he trusted the Lord. Even in the midst of his grief, even in the midst of his fear, he obeyed the Lord. But before they sacrificed here, they consecrated themselves. I think I really want to look at this consecrate for a second, just because I think it's really important. They didn't do this before when they anointed Saul. Consecrate yourself. It really means to separate of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with the perfect God. The importance of being consecrated or pure in our relationship with God is to emphasize to devote themselves wholly to the Lord. Samuel wanted to slow down, obey the Lord, concentrate, like really examine their hearts to why they're going to try to pursue a new king. They wanted to be holy. They wanted to be right with the Lord, to take the time to slow down and be right with the Lord. Consecrate yourselves. So that's what they did. They took the time. Samuel did it for himself, but also Jesse's whole family there, to truly rely on this Lord for this decision. Like, this is a big turn of events, to take the time to examine yourselves, take the time to look in your lives to see what is really in your heart. For why are you making this decision? Let's take the time and slow down. Because even in the midst of this grief and fear, trusting the Lord that he will provide a king. He is the one that provided the direction. So then we get to this section of like Jesse presenting his sons. It's like, okay, we have this oldest son. He's probably big and strong. Talks about being like, oh, he looks like a king, right? Again, like Samuel, remember how Saul was, right? Saul was head above shoulders above everybody else. He looked like a king. That's Jesse's first son. Looks like a king. But nope, not him. And then the next son. Nope, not him. Then the next son. Nope, not him. All of his sons. I think it's really important just to examine why. Because the Lord sees not as the man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The heart. It wasn't about the worldly, what they looked like, how big and strong they were. This was going to be a king that God provided. God that really understood the person's heart. The heart that is solely on the Lord, being able to trust in the Lord. So we have this youngest son, the son that is left in the field pretty much forgotten about. He is the one. Trusting God. He is the one. He is the one that is going to be the anointed. He is the one that is going to be sought through to an end. He is the one, the youngest son, the forgotten son, the shepherd boy who really wasn't all that special. The Lord provided direction for Samuel, even when he was fearful and in grief. Right? And I think there's a couple key takeaways that we can get from this section here. The first one, I think, is to consecrate yourself. Right, it's just more than an outward cleansing. It has to be the heart. Because the Lord sees not as the man sees. A man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. Let's take more time to examine our hearts. Take the time to it. Pray about it. Psalm 139 says, the 23 and 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there will be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." I think we should pray that, like, daily. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Have the Lord reveal what's in our hearts. The Lord will provide direction. The next, typically, like, when we are grief and fear, what do we typically do? As our first response, is it typically to go to the Lord? I think more often than not. I think a lot of times we sit in our grief for, like, really long periods of time. Like, I understand, like, yes, there are going to be situations where life is hard, where you're going to be fearful of the unknown, of what's going to happen. We're fearful of how is the Lord going to work? Because we don't know the end, I guess the end state. But we can still trust in the Lord. We can look to Him for guidance more than the world. Because when times don't even look into the world, we need to look more than just externally. We need to look internally and then depend our way on the Lord. Because the Lord provides direction, guys. The Lord provides direction. He gives clear instructions. When we are fearful and in grief, we can depend on the Lord. Now, the second character we have here is Saul. So much trouble, right? A lot of sermons here have been talked about Saul and just the ups and downs of how he's obeying, not obeying most of the time, just really struggling. But here he is in so much trouble, so much hardship. He just had this severe, massive turning point in his life. He was anointed king, right? The Spirit rushed upon him, and now the Spirit left him. He was supposed to be the people's choice king, right? Like, he was supposed to be it. This massive life change because of the disobedience. Because disobedience, guys, even in the midst of turmoil, we can trust that the Lord will provide relief and comfort. Even in the midst of turmoil, trust that the Lord will provide relief and comfort. Because Saul was anointed king over Israel. He was reigning, he was king, but he had disobedience. And disobedience really does, there's consequences for it. So the Lord caused his spirit to depart from Saul. Here, and I think the Lord here was convicting Saul of his sins. I think that's a struggle, this harmful spirit from the Lord that was tormenting him, was this Holy Spirit, like, convicting him of his sins, the wrestling of sins that was going on in his life, this anguish, the stress, like, had to be so deep and so hurtful, like, in order for other people to see it. But I think he tried to find a quick response to let's just fix it on the surface. I just want to feel good. He didn't want to, like, truly examine his heart. He didn't want to take the time to search my heart, O God. But there were some observant servants. They saw this anguish in him, that he was being just, turmoil. We can just struggling. And they wanted to step in, right, and they made a recommendation. He wanted just to feel better. Like, I think over the last few weeks, guys, we've really seen how Saul's character came out, right? I think a lot of times we see that he is selfish. He clung on to worldly things over godly things. He wanted to please man over God. Samuel told him consistently. He told him consistently of what to do. And sometimes he like kind of did it, but not like wholeheartedly did it. He did it to enough to like kind of maybe like appease the people, but not truly appease the Lord. Always half-heartedly. I think even for this situation here, he's trying to do it half-heartedly. And the next reason I think I call them observant servants because of that description that they give David. This servant I think that really found or that knew David was observant. He obviously could see just the anguish that Saul was in, but I also understood like David's character too. He could see it in him. You see it like the man of valor, man of war, prudent in speech. But I think the most important there, what made David so special is that the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. That's complete opposite of Saul. Saul, the Lord left Saul. The Lord is with David. Right? We've seen this Saul decreasing, David increasing. Consistently here throughout this passage. But this temporary relief that Saul is trying to get, even in the midst of turmoil, we sing, good and gracious King. The Lord who is good and gracious King gives him temporarily relief through this. But a young boy who spends more time with sheep than with people can comfort this current king. Saul didn't deserve this relief. He didn't deserve this comfort from the Lord. But the Lord still allowed it. I think that's just how good and gracious our King is. Family, like we receive the relief and comfort from the Lord, from our King Jesus. Because I recognize like some of you may be hurting. Maybe not specifically like wrestling with sin, but maybe there's some pain and hardships going on in your life. Upcoming PCS, struggling with family dynamics, marriage struggles, parenting, all of those. I get it. God provides relief we need. We can go to the Lord. We can trust in the Lord during those times of turmoil. We can trust in Him. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God of all comfort. We can depend on Him because He is our good Father. He cares for us. He loves us more than we could ever know. He loved us by sending us His Son to die for us, to take the penalty that we deserve. The comfort that He provides for us is just not temporarily, though. It's eternal. Eternal salvation. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we can cling to. It's just not this temporary state, but it is eternal. Eternal. But I also think Saul is more relatable than we might think. Because I think a lot of us struggle with sin. That's not a new thing. Right? Because have you ever disobeyed God? Have you ever struggled with sin? You could be wrestling with it right now. Search my heart, O God. Search our heart. The Lord looks on your heart, guys. Let's search our heart and go to Him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let's go to the Lord. He is the one that does the work on our behalf. I think one more observation, or I guess application for this, the observant servant. Who is that one person in your life that is able to speak into your life? Who is the one person be able to see you? It's like, yeah, they're not doing all that well. I think, like, we need to have that one person in our life. Here, Saul is obviously struggling. It says servants saw him struggling. But a lot of times, we don't show that on our outside at all. It's more of it, we just, like, bottle that up on the inside, and we don't let that be known. Right? We have to be more than just surface level. We need to be real with one another, at least with one person. At least one person to share your struggles with. Be able to come alongside you. Be able to speak life into you and say, hey, let's point you to Christ. Yes, I recognize your hurt. Let's take time to pray together. Let's take time to search our hearts together. Search our hearts together. In the midst of turmoil, we can trust the Lord for comfort and relief. Trust the Lord. Now we get to David. Pretty much, I think from here on out, like every sermon is going to be talking about David. All right, the rest of Samuel. There's going to be so many different things about him. You guys are going to see so many different characteristics of him. The ups, the downs, how he's going to depend on the Lord through it all. But here, it feels like he is just on scene. In the midst of being on scene, trust that the Lord will provide guidance. Here, there's just going to be a massive, drastic change in David's life. You have to think, like, David would not have thought, like, any of this would happen, would ever happen to him. He is the youngest of 8 sons. Think about that for a moment. Like, right, I have 4 kids, that's a lot to manage, but 8 sons? Because typically, the youngest child typically has, like, less pictures of them, right? Like, that's, especially life at that time, the birthright typically always went to the oldest son. His dad didn't even invite him to come to the sacrifice. Like, nope, he's got the sheep. We'll just, I kind of know where he's at, maybe the vicinity, right? But he's just there. Didn't even consider them. Nope, not David. Not seen at all. Because life as a shepherd, he's out with the sheep. Have you ever watched sheep before? Like, honestly, like, are they that exciting? Do they have, like, National Geographic shows about sheep? No. Maybe, like, the lions, tigers, and bears who, like, hunt the sheep. Maybe they get, like, a honorable mention there, but they're not all that exciting. I grew up on a farm, and we had sheep. And you know what they do? They eat. They drink water, poop. That's about it. And they have to, like, honestly, you do have to, like, guide them from, like, place to place. Otherwise, they'll just eat it down to the grass, down to the root, and then they're just like, oh, no, what do we do? And then you have to be led to the next spot. Like, they have to be continually being led. But also, as a shepherd, right, you have to be alert. I get it. There's threats in the area. But he really had to care for those sheep. So it was an intentional job. But he was forgotten about. But also think of, like, him then relating to people, right? If he was always on the outskirts of the town or the city, wherever he may be, he probably wasn't always interacting with a lot of people at that time at all. They're not really thought of until you really need them. But the Lord sees him. The Lord knows him. The Lord knows his heart. Going back to Psalms 139, verse 1 through 3, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. And it just continues to know and say just how much the Lord knows just every step, every direction, every path. We might not know it right now, but the Lord is guiding us. The Lord knows what he is doing. God's sovereignty we just sang about. The Lord knows. And here he knows that he's using this unlikely person, this unlikely, here's a shepherd to fulfill his plans. This massive turn of events for David. Massive. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. God provided himself a king. God is the one doing it. He gave David an unfathomable role. He came off the field being anointed. God is the one provided. I can't emphasize this enough. God is the one that provided. And I love how verse 18 describes him. A skillful playing, a man of faith. I'm going to read it from here because I messed it up. Man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. David had all these qualities. He's like fierce but gentle, bold but still kind, and the Lord is with him. And we see how the Lord is going to be working in his life. Here it seems like it's like picked up a lot, anointing, and then it talks about him being in with Saul, but I think it's been like over a short period of time. It didn't like make him, anoint him, and then immediately make him king. The Lord is slowly going to be working him through. The Lord is continually providing guidance for him, continually providing him these places for him to learn and to grow, to continue to trust in him through all the different positions that he is going to be in. Because first he just come into play, and then the armor bearer, and the Lord was with him throughout all of it. The Lord saw David. This unseen shepherd is being seen. The Lord knows him. He also knows you. He knows you. He created you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Our purpose is to know him, is to love him, to live with him, and to glorify him. Is the Lord with you? Is the Lord with you? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord is with you. That is so comforting. We can depend on him. We can trust in him in those moments. If you don't know if the Lord is with you, just think about sin in general. Think about, have you ever done something wrong? Have you ever disobeyed God? Because sin entered the world. We talked about in Genesis at the beginning there, talked about the fall. Sin entered the world. Guys, we are all broken sinners. But God promised someone who is going to crush the head of the serpent, who is going to conquer sin. And the people here were still waiting for this king. We're still waiting for it. Who is this going to be? Is it going to be David? No. But it's going to come through the line of David. Like the people were continually searching for this. At the end of Ruth, the book here before Samuel, talks about the genealogy of David from Jesse, the father of David. Why did we pause them for like 15 chapters and now find David here? We're waiting for this king. Through David, it's going to be this promised Messiah. Through David, we haven't seen it yet, but it is coming. David is going to be coming. This through David's line is going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This promise that God is going to make to fulfill his plan. He promised he's going to fulfill it to the end of completion. We can see it then in the Gospel of Matthew, this genealogy of how David, through David, is going to be the king. Right? These Old Testament passages that we've been in are pointing the direction forward to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's going to conquer death, conquer sin. Guys, we need this deliverer. We need it. This is something we can't do on our own. It's only through Jesus Christ. He is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. To all him gives glory. He is the one that paid the sacrifice. Because when Jesus was on that cross, he died for our sins. And he said, it is finished. The debt has been paid. It is him. He conquered death. And he is sitting on the right hand of God, and he is coming back to reign. We can trust him. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. We can trust him. Trust him. He knows us more than we could ever imagine. And just how wonderful that truly is to know and be known by him. Because God, he is a promise-keeping God. And he fulfills those promises. And we can trust that God will provide deliverance for us. Do you have that relationship with him? Search my heart, oh God. Take time. Take time today while we go through communion to search our heart, oh God. Because even in the midst of grief and fear, we can trust that God will provide direction. Even in the midst of turmoil, we can trust that God will provide the comfort that we need, that eternal comfort. Even in the midst of being unseen, trust that God knows you. Let's trust our Heavenly King today. Let's pray, guys. Lord, you are the Almighty King who is reigning above all. And Lord, oftentimes, Lord, we come with grief and fear and don't always look to you for direction. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us direction. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts to your truth, Lord. And Lord, we confess, Lord, that we often wrestle with that grief and hold on to it and not look to you. But also, Lord, we are in turmoil. Lord, our sin sometimes, Lord, can feel like just a big, huge weight on our shoulders. Lord, we confess that to you, Lord, and we want to give that to you. Lord, because your burden is light. Lord, help us turn to you for comfort, Lord, that we need. And also, Lord, oftentimes, Lord, we feel unseen. We sometimes, Lord, we lose our identity in this world and we just don't know where to turn. But you know me. You know us, Lord. Lord, provide for us. Lord, help us remember, Lord, what you have done on that cross where we can come to you and remember and give thanks and rejoice because we are your children. Help us remember that, Lord, that you are an amazing provider. We love you, Lord Jesus, in your holy, precious name. Amen.